Welcome to Hour 2 of The Truth with Sherwin Hughes. Music today brought to you by me. Blue Mist is my debut smooth jazz album. And I got to play my music because I give... So anyone has permission to use my music in their YouTube videos, it won't result in a copyright strike. So yesterday, I went a little crazy with the music. I played like 7 copyrighted strong songs. And what happens is YouTube throttled the hell out of my video. So I need to play music that's not going to reduce the distribution of the video, because we're going to talk about some good stuff today. And I want this video to reach a wide audience. I played all sorts of stuff yesterday. I get a little crazy with the music. I sometimes think like, oh, I have access to the world's music catalog. I'll play whatever I want. Yeah, there's consequences to that. So we're playing Blue Mist today. It's available everywhere. YouTube, Spotify, you weird iPhone people, whatever services you all use. You iPhone people are in a cult. And Apple has you. You have to buy their stuff, their equipment. Subscribe to their services. It's just a cash grab. I've had the same Android phone since 2017. An Apple phone user, an iPhone user. Well, Sherwin, where do you get it repaired? I don't! I have dropped this phone on a hardwood floor at least once a week for the last 7 years, and I have a tiny hairpin crack in the very bottom corner. Now, it is time to replace it. But if it still works, it still works. You know what I mean? I mean, it's raggedy. Look at my case.
You definitely need a new one.
Oh, God, yeah. But it still works. I still can make calls. I still can, look at my Facebooks.
I bet you can't download certain apps.
I bet you are. Yeah, that's true. Actually, yeah. But for apps I can't download, 99% of the time there is a web component. I just go to the website. One of my credit card companies is like, yo, dog. You need to upgrade your phone. Until you do, go to www.SherwinCreditCardCompany, whatever the website is. But no, I'm fine. I still can operate with it. I'm not one of those people that needs the latest technology. There's actually a name for that phenomenon and the amount of money that people waste getting the newest and the latest. I don't like getting the newest and the latest because there's also a really big learning curve, and I've got to be so incredibly productive with my device. I don't have time to sit and learn how this works and this feature and this function. I just needed to do what I needed to do so I can worry about other stuff. I don't want to sit in for hours and, ooh, let me explore my phone. I got a life. But I also lived my childhood without these technologies. I went to the library. I made copies with a Xerox machine. I got information out of an encyclopedia. I know how to write in cursive. I would check books out of the library using the Dewey Decimal System. I'm a whole different kind of person. And when I see these folks who have been incubated and drowned in technology, I see a shell of a human being. I see a virtual representation of a personality that feels its most important self is that is online and disregards the self that is actually in real life and in person. You know how disappointing it is when I meet, let's say, a young man or a young woman, maybe in their 20s, and they don't even know how to shake hands. They don't know how to properly greet somebody, that they are shy in person. They've never developed any social skills. They have just a complete and total lack of self-awareness. But, oh, my God, put a headset on them and let them get in front of that video game, and they are their best selves. And you don't think that's going to have negative consequences? We are at a point now where those of us who remember the analog world are finding it very, very difficult to relate to those that grew up in internet culture, because what internet culture does, it allows people to engage in a kind of fantasy that is wholly unrealistic. And you can be weird and do weird stuff and be into weird hobby stuff that would have got your ass kicked back in the day. We didn't tolerate a lot of weird, and for that I apologize, but you're also welcome. Now you can just be weird. You can identify as a kitten or a gerbil and walk around with a tail, and you will find a coalition of people somewhere on the internet that feel exactly like you do, and they will normalize behaviors that are clinically insane. And I'm never going to be okay with that. I'm not one of those, oh, well, that's what they want to do. You're a dysfunctional human being. That's my opinion. You guys cannot like it. But it's also very true. If you don't have social skills, if you cannot interact with another human being because the majority of your interaction has been online, you're deficient. I come to find out that there are some people that have best friends. Well, that doesn't shock me. But best friends they've never met because they started talking online in 2007. They live in California or Alaska or Rhode Island or somewhere. And they talk every day. They might even FaceTime or they'll text each other every day. Oh, my best friend lives in Colorado. I'm like, oh, snap. Did you grow up with him? You went to high school with him and they moved to Colorado? No, I never met him. Huh? Makes no sense to me whatsoever. I was just taking an inventory of the people that I hold near and dear. Vast majority of my friends I've known for 30 years. I also was very disappointed at the inventory that I took of my friends as well, because let's say I got myself in a little bit of trouble, which I try not to do. I try to stay out the way. But if I get into a pinch, I thought about, well, who am I calling first? Who is going to help me immediately to get me out of that pinch? And I hate to admit this. I might got to call my white friends first. Let me tell you why. I call one of my black friends, even a black friend I've known my entire life. Hey, yo, I'm in a pinch. I need your help. Well, what did you do? That's not important right now. I need you to help me. Can you come get me? I'm in bad shape. I'm in trouble right now. Well, I don't know. I'm at work right now. Where you going to be at 7 o'clock tomorrow? No. I need help right now. Can you please help? Well, you ain't going to tell me what you did, so let me call you back, and they hang up. Let me call one of my white friends. Hey, white friend. Sup, dude? What's going on? I hear a little despair in your voice, dude. What's up? I'm in a pinch. I need some help. Dude, where are you right now? I'll get a helicopter. They're not asking me what I did. They're not asking me if I'm responsible for what I did. They're not even asking me if I murdered somebody. Dude, where are you? I'll come now. I mean, technically, I'm visiting my mom in the hospital. She's dying, but, you know, I'll come get you, dude. Talk about it when I come pick you up. I'll rent a jet and come. Kind of friends I got. Even though there's been a lot of black people disappearing and being found hung in trees, I don't think, if my white friends have not hung me after some of the stuff that I've said about white people on this show, I think that they're pretty solid.
Some white people are pretty solid.
They are. Some black folks are not.
Yeah.
Real simple. All my black friends and family, well, this is a lesson that you need to learn. My white friend's like, dude, you're not learning a lesson from this. I'm going to save you. Even if I needed money. Well, no, I got black friends for that. So I went and bought, when I bought my Audi, it was $8,000. This was in 2014. I bought an Audi. Love that car. Way too expensive to maintain, but I loved it. I bought an Audi A6. It was used. They wanted 10. I talked them down to 8. I had $3,500 in cash. I was going to finance the other $4,500. And because the vehicle that I had, I drove a Cadillac at the time. My Cadillac was inoperational, so I had to get a ride to the dealership. So my guy took me to the dealership. And so I made the deal, got the car for $8,000, had $3,500 in cash, was going to finance 45. My guy was like, don't do that, Sherwin. I said, what do you mean? You don't need no loan. You don't need no car payment. I said, well, I only got 35 on me right now. He's like, I'll be right back. Goes to the trunk of his car and goes and gets $4,500, and I was able to buy the vehicle in cash, and I just paid him back. That's a friend right there. See there? So I will give my black friends some credit when it comes to, like, stuff like that. But you got to have friends with money. You know, you at least get you one. Get you a friend with money and get you a friend with a boat. And also, fellas, if you can have a level of maturity, get a good female friend as well, because they can prove to be invaluable wingmen. Because what women can point out, hey, Sherwin, see that girl over there? Yeah, yeah, I noticed her when I walked in. Yeah, she's trying to get your attention. She's flirting with you from across the room.
Really?
Why was that ding so quiet? I need a loud ding. Turn the volume. There you go. Lo and behold. Hi, I'm Sherwin.
I know. You're Sherwin from the radio, aren't you?
That never happens, by the way. That don't happen. Most people that I come in contact with in public that know, this is two kinds, really. They're the people that will stop whatever the hell they're doing. Oh, my God, Sherwin, it's so nice to meet you. And I always appreciate it. I will take as much time as I have to sit and chat with you. I don't care where we're at. Me in the grocery store holding up the line. If you listen to me, I appreciate you very much, and I will spend time talking to you. And then there's the people that ignore me, right? They see me. Maybe I see them. Maybe I don't see them. But then they'll inbox me. Sure, when I saw you, I saw you at the store, but I didn't want to say anything. Now this is creepy. You could have made the conversation public, but now you're trying to be in the DMs. Women are, they're a fascinating sort, because women are a little more covert because they have to worry about reputation a lot more than men do. So a woman, and believe it or not, there are women that like intelligent men. Go figure. Not enough women, but a few. And they'll be slick. They'll say something like, oh, Sherwin, can you text me that article that you were referencing last March? Here's my number. Just text me the article. I know what you're trying to do, ma'am. I know exactly what that is. All right, let's read some YouTube comments. I do want to revisit the possibility of, because it seems to me that the African-American vote in the city of Milwaukee, which is very robust, is unattached and unaffiliated, because I don't believe that there are any candidates who have promoted an agenda that speaks to the current conditions of African-Americans in an anti-DEI, anti-affirmative action, both social and political climate. And I just think that the candidates are not fooling with us. They're not messing with us, because they know the climate for us is not very good. And we're not very organized, as evidenced by outside groups coming into black communities and black neighborhoods and organizing on their own behalf, not necessarily organizing with or on behalf of community residents. They're bringing their own agendas into our community. And you can only do that when the community itself is weak and fragmented and frazzled. And I think that is what we are. And as we continue down this road in this era of anti-DEI and affirmative action, it's not just Republicans, it's liberals. Republicans set the tone of being anti-DEI and anti-affirmative action, and liberals were like, well, hell, we don't need to cater to them either, because they're weak and they're falling apart. But I do think that the unaffiliated African-American vote, which is much larger than I think, than most of us think it is, because even if you look at the polling going back so last fall in the governor's race, no candidate has really even reached 30%, right? Francesca might be hovering around 30%, maybe 27%. No one has really crossed 30%. I need you to understand what this means, that no one candidate has a majority of the support from Democratic primary voters. Meaning if the, let's say I'm going to give Francesca 32% right now. I don't know if she has that kind of support, but that's actually, you know, not bad considering how low support numbers have been throughout this cycle. But even if she has 32% support, I mean, there's 68% of Democratic Party voters that don't know who they're going to vote for, or they are unattached and unaffiliated. And I think that we are included in that. And if we can take the political power that we have, because remember how many times Kamala Harris had been here. Remember how many people came to 101.7 The Truth, whether it be, I interviewed some everybody. I interviewed Kamala Harris's sister. I interviewed Don Cheadle. I can't tell you how many members of the Congressional Black Caucus, they would travel to Milwaukee to campaign on behalf of Kamala Harris. because the black vote is just that robust. And it still is. It just happens to be unattached and unaffiliated to any of the candidates that are running for office currently. I think that there is a way in which we can execute a strategy that has proven successful in history. I can look at the 1960 presidential election. I also can look at Donald Trump's rise to power, from him being a single-digit polling candidate to him winning the Republican primary in 2016, because there was an unaffiliated and unattached cohort of conservatives and Republicans that said, you know what, let's find us an underdog, get that underdog to become the winner, to become president, and then they will owe us an agenda. And Trump is actually very loyal to those folks still, because he knows where his bread is buttered. I will give him that. He knows what coalitions put him where he is, and he doles out rewards for loyalty, because, ladies and gentlemen, that is what politics is at its essence. If you help me, I'll help you. And here's the best part. We don't even have to like each other. We just have to be loyal to our greed, to our agenda, and to our desires. We can go our separate ways, but I'm going to help you. You're going to get in a position of power. You're going to pay me back for me getting you into that position of power by giving me what I want. It's very transactional. Where it gets difficult is because the majority of our voters in America are women. You have to have an emotional appeal to something that should be objective and transactional. I have cast votes for people that I don't like, but whose agendas I could ride with. I don't need to like the person. I don't even really like a lot of people. I don't. And I'm perfectly fine with that. We think that we need to actually like the person that we are voting for. Like something about their resume, like something about their work ethic, like something about their accomplishment. You don't have to like the person. I don't even know why they're throwing this mud talking about Mandela and Francesca. They used to date. Don't nobody care about that. And first of all, they did more than date. I don't want to give you all the details that I know, because this, whoo, it's salacious. I mean, unless y'all want to get gossipy.
Sounds like fun to me.
You know, I ain't here throwing nobody under the bus, but I would look at, if you were interested in such trivial things, and there are some people that are into, like, you know, the gossip. Oh, I want to know all the dirt on people, which does not help move the needle policy wise, getting into the weeds with all the gossip and the dirt. But here's what I would look at. If you were into that kind of stuff, if you're a gossip person, I'm not a gossip person. I would look at when they dated. Okay, if you're interested in that, I'm not telling you to do any of this because I think it's pointless and it's trivial. I would look at when they dated, and then I would look if she was divorced yet or not. I'm not telling nobody to do that, because here's the thing. No shade. I'm not saying that anything was done below board, but if you were into such things, I would look at when they were involved. And then I would look at her status as a married woman or not. It's none of my business. I don't care what people do. Married people get freaky all the time. Ain't got nothing to do with me. In fact, some of the most ferocious women are women that are married and unhappy. They're worse than men that are married and unhappy. Even an unhappily married man is still afraid. He still has some kind of fear that he may get caught. His wife may leave him. Take half his money, get alimony, child support, take the house. So men have got to be a little more cautious. Doesn't mean that they are. But a cheating woman almost has an incentive. So yeah, I'll just go cheat on my husband. If I get caught, I'll divorce my husband, and my husband will pay me even though I cheated on him. Because we're one of those weird no-fault states where a woman can cheat, divorce the man, get alimony, get child support, get the house, get the car, and then move the boyfriend into the house. Ooh, I'd be mad. OJ was mad. You saw how mad OJ was. OJ saw.
He didn't do it.
What was it? Ron Goldman? Is that the dude? Ron Goldman?
Ron Goldman.
OJ was like, dude is living in my house that I bought. Oof. Oh, he did it.
Nah.
You don't think he did?
He's innocent.
He's dead, too.
Oh, yeah. I think he's innocent the whole time. You know, if the glove, what they say, if the glove doesn't fit, you must acquit. Yeah, so I think, you know, he didn't do anything wrong. You know, he wrote a book.
He said, if I was to do it, here's how I was going to do it.
Made a little money.
Made a lot of money.
Nothing wrong with that.
He killed him. Nah. We can admit that now. We ain't got to hide the lie. I was in college when the verdict was read. I was going to one of the whitest schools in the state of Wisconsin. I was living in the dorms at University of Wisconsin, Oshkosh, and it was myself and one other black dude that stayed across the hall from me. And the verdict, everybody was playing it on their TVs in the dorms. You could just hear the echo all throughout the hallway of the dorms. And so when the verdict was read, you heard a collective sigh from all of these white college students that was deafening. But then myself and then the other black guy lived across the hall, we went insane. We made T-shirts that said, we took white T-shirts and markers, if it doesn't fit, you must acquit. If it doesn't fit was on the front, you must acquit on the back. And we walked around campus with those shirts on. I don't know how they didn't string our black asses up. Yeah, that was something else. I'll never forget. That was 1995, the fall of 95.
I was 4 years old.
I was 19, 20. All right, let's take a break. Can we talk about attaching our vote to an underdog, getting that underdog through the primary, and then having that underdog be loyal to an agenda that is being ignored by the other candidates? Also, I think that we could have a say-so in how that surplus gets spent, because if any of the other candidates, if we just sit back and don't do anything, or we scatter our vote amongst the five candidates, there is no incentive to do anything for the African-American community. And that's really, really bad, because the climate that we are in is going to get worse over the next 2 years. As Donald Trump firmly settles into lame duck status, he is going to be even more dangerous. So I think that there is some opportunity to some shield of protection, because they're also getting rid of the supplier diversity program. We've lost a minority scholarship. There's a referendum on the ballot in November, which is going to make permanent. Anything related to DEI and affirmative action is going to be unconstitutional in Wisconsin. If we have a governor that is in office that gets there because of the affiliated black vote, then I think that we may have a leg to stand on. But if we do nothing, we will get nothing. And if we do nothing and get nothing, things will get worse. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. You are listening to The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
The plan is very ambitious, and what I fear, if we consider affiliating with a candidate that is, as of right now, not going to win, and if we attach our political support to a candidate in order to engender some kind of loyalty, because right now the black agenda is not on anybody's campaign platform, we can make it so, but it would take a tremendous amount of effort, dedication, and commitment in a very, very short period of time. 1 week from today, on July 22nd at 11 a.m., Joel Brennan is going to join me in studio. I did have a very productive conversation with him yesterday, and I basically explained the landscape from our perspective. And I had to make sure that we agreed on some really, really important issues. And first and foremost, the school choice. In fact, the African-American political agenda is so swept under the rug that you have got candidates that are actively promising to end a parental choice program. And at its essence, I need people to understand why liberals and progressives don't like the school choice program, because private schools and their very high tuition act as a mechanism of school segregation. That's the only reason why that they are against it. These lies about, oh, it's taking money from public schools. Public schools can get almost unlimited funding. They get property tax dollars, and they can ask for a referendum essentially whenever they want, and the referenda pass. So this is not about school funding. Milwaukee is in the top five of school districts in the nation when it comes to per pupil funding. It is, it's not about the money. And so even when they say, oh, we need more money for our public schools, and then they get it, the money goes to the schools that are already the highest performing. And so it widens the gap between our highest performing MPS schools and our lowest performing MPS schools, because the high performing public schools, these are the ones that everybody promotes. I love my public school. Where did you go? Rufus King. Well, of course you love your public school. In other parts of the state where public schools are performing very, very well, it's very easy for someone to talk about how much they love public education and that public education needs to be fully supported. But those people are very unfamiliar, or maybe they are familiar, with the dynamic that exists in Milwaukee, because to me, 91% of black children that are not reading on grade level in fourth grade is a crisis unlike anything I have ever seen. That means that these kids, if you can't read, you're going to die. You can't count calories, carbohydrates, money. And if you can't read, you can't comprehend, you can't follow directions or instructions, your job prospects are limited, your income is limited, poverty is a virtual certainty, prison is right around the corner, and we are literally staring these numbers in the face. Whenever you look at literacy numbers, you also have to look at jail and incarceration numbers and shorter life expectancy and infant mortality and maternal mortality. All of those things are related to literacy and math performance directly. Now, some children who are not performing well, they may catch up. Most of them will not, and they will end up becoming statistics that harm other African Americans. And so I believe that education and protecting the different options and avenues that families and children have it's central to me, and Joel, he agrees with that. In fact, we had a great conversation about education because he gets it. These other candidates want to take away a program that gives our children a shot. It doesn't guarantee anything, but it gives them a shot, because there are some parents who are very much involved and invested in their children's education, and I want those parents that are involved to have every option available to them, because they should have every option available to them, and all these options that exist are legal. But it's hard for me to communicate, because we think that a lefty, a liberal, a progressive, or someone who calls himself a Democrat is a friend to black people. These things exist separately. You can love Democrats and love democratic socialists, and you can be one and volunteer and all this other stuff, and fundamentally hate black people or be afraid of black people or think that black people and black children don't deserve anything and believe that we are actual second-class citizens. And there are some candidates that fundamentally believe that, because if they believed otherwise, they would say so. Because a Democratic primary is the time in which you can talk about every single constituency group unabashedly. No one is mentioning the African-American community, and I got to continue to repeat this so that people recognize the silence amongst these Democratic candidates that want to find a pathway to winning a primary and maybe even winning a general election without the black vote. That will set a new precedent. If there is a strategy or a pathway to victory where you can get elected statewide in Wisconsin and completely ignore black people, trust me, that will be the new electoral path henceforth for Democrats and for Republicans. And they are searching for this strategy. And I want to be a dead end to that strategy, because it is blatantly racist. That's exactly what it is. You can't call it anything else. And they use the excuse of, well, when David was in the race, because I spoke to another campaign, I'm like, why are y'all not investing in black media? Like, y'all will want to come here and be on the microphone, but you're not spending any money. Well, because David was in the race, and we're not going to waste our money, you know, advertising our campaigns to the black community, because we figured that David Crowley just had the black vote. David Crowley did not. If David Crowley had the black vote, he would have polled at better than 5%. Black folks wasn't even feeling David as governor, but that's, don't be shocked by that. I think people wanted him to be county executive. He ain't been county executive long enough. So when Scott Walker ran for president, he polled low. He polled low in Wisconsin. Scott Walker polled low in presidential polls for president while he polled high amongst Republicans for governor. Why is that? Because people didn't want him to be president. They wanted him to continue being governor of the state of Wisconsin because they liked how he was managing the state. We didn't like how he was managing the state, but his voters and his supporters and his constituencies did. So he polled low when people were asked about him running for higher office. Like, we don't want Scott Walker to be president or run for president, because if he does that, he will ignore us here in Wisconsin. That is not unusual, and that is a pitfall. If you are an incumbent that's only been in a particular position, because I think Scott Walker had only been, he was in his second term as governor, just like David Crowley is in his second term as county executive. People weren't ready to see David Crowley become governor. And there was no guarantee he was going to be a good one, because if you're going to be a black person and run for higher office and win, you got to have that Obama effect. You got to revolutionize everything. You got to do something that's never been done before, and I just wasn't convinced. I'm going to take a break, come back. Take a gander over at the YouTube chat. Oh, we have a YouTube poll as well. I'm very curious because I do have a story about something they're doing in the military that is going to impact black servicemen specifically. So our YouTube poll question of the day is, have you or a member of your family served in the military? And a whopping 85% of you either have served or have a family member that has served in the military. And I will say right now, watch me salute. Watch this. Thank you for your service. Thank you very much for doing the military stuff. We appreciate you a lot. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 1017 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
JD says, financial literacy is real. I have a young man. Maybe I gave the young man $70 yesterday at Kohl's, and he had a hard time counting it and making change off $69.03. He told me in 2 days he starts his electrical apprenticeship. To be an electrician, you got to know math a lot, because if you confuse volts for amps, you're going to get electrocuted. You know, like in the cartoons, whenever somebody gets electrocuted, you can see their bones. That's going to be him. Yeah, that's sad. Alan, you're on 1017 The Truth. Now tell us what you're doing that has nothing to do with what I'm talking about.
Oh, I'm thinking about the Democratic primary. Is that okay? That has a lot to do with what you're talking about earlier. I had to run my wife up some corn nuts at work, so I dropped the call. The call dropped.
Of course.
I was going to have you say hi to some of the people in the building, but it dropped. Anyway, I got told by her I got to groom. She's like, what are you doing? You look like a bomb. And that's why I'm outside thinking about the Democratic primary and what's going to happen here. Tiffany's going to win in a landslide. Watch. There's been a dramatic switch in the wild counties, man. You guys, they're just going, they're seeing who can go furthest left. And they're, it's too late. the young people do not see things the same way we do at all. And it's not. Also, you know how Kennedy won the. How Kennedy won, right? It was the Democratic machine, and then the guys from Chicago, Mr. Giancana, and the unions in West Virginia and Illinois and Kenosha Union, and then over in Detroit. But anyway, great show, man.
Thank you.
Did you get a cone? Hey, did you go get a cone yesterday?
No, I was very busy.
They heard us.
Many things.
They heard us on the radio. The young lady told me when I went back, because I usually get two cones a day. I get one solo, and then I got a groom, and I get one with my wife because we're usually going to do something. And the young lady said, yeah, you were on the radio about the cone. I said, yes, that was me. She goes, you're awesome. So there you go. The word's getting out, my friend. The cones are moving like wildfire.
I'm glad I could help McDonald's sell more ice cream.
No, you're helping make me. What you're really doing, you're bringing people over here to the community. I've met so many people, and I'm outside working in my yard. A lot of city workers listen to you. Did you know that? they're always stopping. Hey, are you Alan? I'm like, yeah, how you doing? And we start kicking, and they're like, yeah, this is foolishness. And I'm like, dude, you ain't saying nothing. Yeah, wait till I really get rolling. The festivities are going to start with the children's crusade. When they open this thing up, I got some students are going to come. We're going to do a lesson in civics. I already got the okay from my principal. It's going to be fantastic. We might even give them a kumbaya. But, yeah, maybe you want to do a remote.
Alan, are you a substitute teacher or are you a classroom teacher? What kind of teaching?
I'm a classroom teacher. I'm certified. I don't do the licensing thing. I did that before as a substitute. I know some people look me up probably.
Wait a minute. Are you teaching at a public school or a charter school?
Charter schools.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Do you mind
telling us? No, I can't because it's a private school. But maybe I will one day if you want us to come down. Maybe I'll put my I'll talk to some people and see if they want to be on the radio with you and talk about what we do.
I don't know.
We work with basically what I do. I work with kids who.
So you're a class. You have a class. You teach a class of kids. What subjects?
Yes. Everything from what do you want to learn? I mean, if I have third,
Alan,
if
that's not how it works. You're not a classroom teacher, and it's not what do you want to learn. What is your curriculum? What grades do you
teach?
What
are you trying to tell me? Mathematics? I do mathematics. I do history. I do civics.
What grade?
If you're older, I do American
literature. Any grade you want. What grade do you teach?
This year, I think I'm going to do a fourth grade. I'm not quite sure yet, but I think I'm going to do fourth grade. But I may, because something happened, I may do multiple building contract sub work just because it's hard to, I know all the kids, I know all the adults, and it's just easier to have some continuity. And I'm willing to do that. I was retired for a long time. I'm not, you know. Oh, but anyway, You are a great guy, man.
Thank you.
You really are. You're getting the word out. I like what you're doing is when you're talking about that, the discrepancies in the money. Most people aren't smart enough to figure out what you – she probably did inflate it, and she's learning a valuable lesson. But you're being fair. I got to give you that. I know you're pretty much to the left of me by far.
Anybody is to the left of you, Alan.
No, they're not.
Trump is to the left of you.
No. Maybe, because I sometimes think he's playing that stuff. Other stuff, I'm not going to denigrate the guy. But, he's way left of me in terms of his personal life, like cheating and all that. That's something you never do.
You don't cheat?
Oh, we had a racial incident at a mall yesterday, at the Southridge Mall. A racial incident again. It's unbelievable, man. Somebody was very rude to Tyronda. And then she kept talking. She started talking. I said, ma'am, you're still talking. What don't you get? Who are you? Who are you, man? I'm her husband. I'm the guy you didn't want to meet. I was standing over trying to be quiet. Oh, my. So anyway, it's real, man. The struggle is real, my friend. I got the fist in the air for you right now. Solidarity.
Thank you. All right. Have a good day.
God
Alan.
Bless you.
God
I'm
going to
have a great one. I'm frying some eggs. Thank you, man. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye then. He always has to throw in stuff that's unrelated to anything. Yeah, I was over listening to you. I got to go fry an egg. I got to go take my wife some corn nuts. I didn't ask about any of that stuff. He speaks very lovingly and very glowingly about his wife, and he's probably been calling me. Oh, Alan's been calling for 10 years if he's been calling for a day. I've never spoken to his wife once.
Isn't he a reformed white supremacist?
Yes.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay, I'm going to take a commercial break because I just took a lot out of me. You know, it's National Watermelon Month, and I do want to share with you the importance of that very important gourd and its historical impact on the African-American community. You know, they tried to stereotype it. I can take a seedless or a seeded watermelon because there's a way in which I can eat watermelon where I don't have to pick the seeds out, because if you pick the seeds out, you'll go crazy. Just swallow them. They're healthy. They're full of healthy fats. They're very – and they just pass right through. There's no complications if you swallow the seeds. But why I am cautious about seedless fruit, and it's not like seedless fruit is dangerous or any less healthy. I think there's conspiracies about that. But what it points to is those that engineer our food. And our food has to be engineered because we have 8 billion people and relatively limited space in which we can grow it, because you can't grow food everywhere. But seedless fruits and vegetables, while they may be more convenient, it's a sign that big agriculture doesn't want us to grow our own food. So if you purchase fruits and vegetables that is seeded, potentially you could plant those seeds and cultivate your own crops. But if the produce is seedless, the likelihood is lower that you will obviously plant those seeds. Now, you still, of course, can go and purchase seeds, and you can buy seeds online. Somebody told me they have seeds at the library. Where did I hear that? I think I was listening to somebody's show, and they got a call. They said, oh, yeah, you can go to the library and get seeds.
That was probably the morning show then. Because I remember some – that was either this show or the morning show. I think we had a rare, like a caller that called in that doesn't normally call in here.
Yeah, and, I heard it.
Yeah. I think that was our show. Your show.
What do you mean our show?
Yeah, so say your show.
I mean, I guess technically it's ours, but don't get too big for your britches now.
Oh, all right. This is the truth with Sherwin Hughes.
Yes, sir.
I'm just in your world.
Yes, sir.
Oh, I
make
know.
Producers famous, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Producers and callers. You know, Alan is a celebrity, and he loves the clout. Because people always remember Alan's voice whenever he says something in public. Go, oh, are you Alan? And he loves it. He eats it up. If y'all going to start benefiting from the celebrity status because you called my show, I want some royalties now. Y'all over here benefiting off of my clout. You're going to have to pay the piper now.
I've yet to be recognized, but I kind of like it that way. I'd rather be unknown behind the scenes.
People know who you are.
Well,
they
not
sent
really.
You at Midtown.
Oh, yeah, but they didn't say anything.
And either. I captured you on one of my little YouTube videos. I'm like, yeah, screw him. He's going to be famous. All right, I got to take a break now. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 FM. We'll be right back.
The Truth with Sherwin Hughes returns after this on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com. This is The Truth with Sherwin Hughes on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 1017thetruth.com.
Where I'm losing my mind.
I organized it nice in there for you.
You did?
Yeah, you looking at your folder?
Looking to discover and support local businesses in our community? Then make sure you tune in every Friday at 8 a.m. to Truth in the Morning with Homer and Bailey for What the Business Is, powered by We Energies. Each week, you'll hear from local business owners as they share what their business is, where they're located, and one valuable lesson they've learned along the way. Don't miss What the Business Is every Friday at 8 a.m. only on Truth in the Morning with Bailey and Homer, powered by We Energies, delivering the energy that powers local business. My We Energy bill going to be high as a giraffe's vagina because my air conditioning been working overtime. I need my AC unit to make it one more season because it's old. In fact, because I got an HVAC maintenance dude. So every fall, I highly recommend you do this now. Every fall, get your furnace inspected. I usually do it, I don't know, September, October, just to make sure everything is on the up and up because I know that my heat going to be working overtime in Wisconsin. I got to make sure that they clean out all the things and do the little maintenance because I just bought a new furnace a couple of years ago and it was expensive. And I want to make sure I get as much life out of it as I possibly can. So, and the maintenance call is only like a little $120. And it's better to do the annual $120 maintenance than to overlook something and have a major repair. Because I can't risk my heat going out. Now, my AC goes out. Yeah, it'll be terrible. I'll be very uncomfortable. But if your heat goes out, your ass is dead. So, yeah, I just need my AC to last one more. It's like $6,000 for a new AC unit. But once you have central air, you can't live without it. I honestly don't know what you all are doing that don't have air conditioning, because it's, you can't cook in the house because that's more heat. Fans don't work. Can't open a window. What do you do? I don't even know what people do if you don't have an AC unit. Yeah, it's been terrible. Now, the other thing is, thankfully, most of us are not outside very much. Some of you might work outside. Don't know how you do that either. But for the most part, it's quick jaunts in between air-conditioned buildings. I'm in my house. I walk out of my house. I go into the garage, get in my vehicle. I turn the climate control on in my vehicle, so it's 68 degrees in the vehicle. I drive here. I park in the parking structure. I walk a very short way to enter into the building here at the Third Street Market Hall, and I'm right back in the air conditioning again. But for those of you that have extended periods of being out in this heat, by all means, please protect yourself. Wear sunscreen, I guess. Sunblock. SPF. The only time I ever wore sunblock, I used to have a convertible. And you have to. Because you'll get cooked. That was back when I was a young man going through my midlife crisis. I realized that I needed to have a little two-seat roadster. I had a red Chrysler Crossfire, little two-seat convertible. Love that vehicle. Loved it so very much. But then I realized it's stupid because I could only drive it. I mean, I got 5 months out of the year in which I could drive it. But then every spring when I pulled it out, I had to go and do the maintenance. You got to change the oil and you got to check everything, because when vehicles sit, there might be neglected items that you need to get fixed before you put it back on the road for the summer season. It was a lot of fun, had a good time, but I'm much more practical and sensible with my vehicles. You guys know what I drive now. Drive that vehicle made by that evil man. That's the guy that Xavier doesn't like.
A lot of people don't like him.
Dude, you have Starlink internet. Come on.
Hey, don't put my business out there.
Don't be a hypocrite. I will admit that I don't like a lot of stuff that Elon Musk says, but here's the thing. It's because I know what he says. It's a whole bunch of brands that we buy, places that we shop at, restaurants that we go to, where the owners and proprietors and the profiteers of some of those other places and spaces and brands are even more racist than Elon. We just don't know it.
True.
It's very easy to be racist against black people. In fact, listen to a black person. We're usually the best at it.
He does come from apartheid South Africa, too.
I come from apartheid Milwaukee.
Yeah.
One of my best friends is married to a South African woman. And she is astonished. And she grew up, she's basically my age, a little younger. Maybe she's in her late 40s. She grew up in, like, the throes of apartheid, where even Ronald Reagan had to be involved in Coca-Cola, and everybody was boycotting South Africa back in the late 1980s. And she said, Sherwin, the racism here is so much worse than in South Africa. They say it real funny. South Africa. Here they're smiling your face. It would be so racist. At least in South Africa, they let you know that they don't like you. It's so embarrassing when people come to Milwaukee and they spend any significant time here, how they notice the racism. I think that we have kind of grown accustomed to it, which is nothing you should ever get used to. But it also explains how even Democratic candidates for governor can ignore the black vote, because nobody really wants to fool with us. And we did all this inviting to all the barbecues, and I will ask you all, where did it get us? You see a white woman post something on social media about, my dad was racist, and I'm really mad at him for being racist, and I don't talk to my dad anymore. And then watch the comments under a video as simple as that. You're invited to the barbecue. You're invited to the barbecue. Stop inviting these people to the barbecue, because they're not inviting us to theirs. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be back for Hour 3.
Don't touch that dial. The Truth with Sherwin Hughes will be right back on 101.7 The Truth, The Truth app, and 101.7thetruth.com.